Welcome to Sweeping the Country. A little late this week and off last week. And this week, Jimmy, I mean, you bumped me for a very, very good reason. And let's talk about it, because this is a big deal.
Yeah, I did have it. I enjoyed it. We'll talk more about it when the movie gets closer.
Yeah.
But I had a good time. I've been interviewing Kevin Costner, you know, for the movie since 1985.
Wow, that's incredible.
And, all No Way Out, Silverado.
Oh, I remember both of those.
Wolves, Bull Durham, The Postman, Waterworld, Field of Dreams.
Oh, I mean,
all movies, you know, all of them. The Bodyguard. I've been there. Revenge, which we went to Mexico. Mm-hmm. I've been all over the place with this guy talking. And so it was fun to hear about the new movie Horizon. It's a multi-part thing. I can't think of one that's an example. It's coming out June the 28th.
Yeah.
And I really want to see part two, which is coming out in August.
So they're going to release it in a film the same way they would release
a
film.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie on a big screen. It'll eventually be on phones and stuff like that, but it's not made for that. These movies that are big Westerns need to be on a big screen.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Top Gun was gross on the phone. I watched it on something smaller, and it just doesn't have that impact that a movie does. I mean, and we're so out of the situation. You know, COVID screwed up so much stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really did. No doubt.
And it screwed up the movie business, and it screwed up a bunch of stuff like that. I mean, it had some good effects, because I think it's good that we have Netflix and some of these other things. But I think people are watching more movies than they've ever watched in their lives. I'm not one of those. I don't want to watch bad movies. And that's mostly what Netflix is mostly bad movies. You know, it's weird.
I would agree.
Even heard of.
No, I would agree. And I even go as far as to say I don't think the quality of what they're putting on Netflix, minus the movies like this that you pay $20 to watch, which I just did. I watched a great story about World War II. And Winston Churchill, and I can't remember the name of the film, but if you get a chance to watch it, man, is it good. It's you got to pay for it. It's a movie, you know, it's like 20 bucks to download, but it's so good. But I think the quality of the product, when you see something on the big screen like Top Gun, you know, that's a high dollar. They put a lot of money into that. And then you see Netflix, I don't know, pick a movie, any movie, and it's just the quality is just not there.
The writing of it is weak. And
all of it.
And it's cheesy. And so, but some of it, they paid a lot of money, to get on the screen. The Gray Man was one. That should have been a major motion picture.
Yeah,
Instead, they put it on Netflix, and it was there, but it would have been better as a movie.
Yeah.
It was still good, but things just don't have the impact that big movie screen, you know, did. And Kevin made a big point of, you know, reminding me, you know, the movies for people of my, and because he's almost the same age I am.
Yeah.
The movie was the first place your parents let you go by yourself.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
It was the first place to let that. And it also, for many people, the movies and the drive, whether it's the drive-in or the in-person theater, was the first place that we ever had any romance.
I was going to say made out, but yeah.
You know, hold hands was probably, you might have gone to there grubbing right off the bat.
Oh, yeah, I go all the way.
Started out slow, you know, and holding hands and stuff like that.
Oh, no, I sat in the back, Jimmy.
It was an important part of our lives growing up.
I would agree. And I want to say something else to that, too. I think when you walk through the theater door, it isolates you from anything else that's going on, right?
It does. It did that to me the other night. I went, this is almost a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm twiddling my thumbs waiting for it to start, and I was ready for it when it got going.
Yeah.
But boy, as soon as it gets going, maybe a couple of minutes in, you're there. You're like, your body has been transformed.
Yeah.
Now, occasionally it will let you go and you'll check the watch or something, because I did. I wanted to just kind of see where we were, you know, professionally into the movie. And then you're back in again, you know.
Yeah.
It's
you're focused. You're focused.
Very special. Mm-hmm. Something very special. But you don't think about anything else but being out in the West and watching what's going to happen next and that type of thing. So
I love that.
I hope people – but I went to the movies not long ago, and I'm still angry about it. I've never been more angry about a movie. I was totally seduced by this movie, Civil Wars. The promos looked great. It looked great, and it looked like it was kind of a big movie with planes and helicopters. Looked like they had a budget and everything, and reasonable, you know, stars. At least you knew who they were.
Yeah.
And I went to this movie, and it was the most disjointed, lack of focus piece of crap I've ever seen. And I hated the movie, and it was made me so mad that I paid the full price, and I paid to see it in IMAX. And there was no reason for any of the above. So, yeah, when you get burned like that, that makes you mad. But, you know, but I just took a chance because, you know, I didn't do it. But mostly when you see these movies, this Mad Max movie is flopped. But it didn't have any interest to me ever. I was not into that, when Mel Gibson did it years ago.
Me neither. I mean, that was Grace Slick's
big.
That
was just one of those things I never cared about. I didn't either.
It was too strange to me. I didn't understand the whole thing.
I didn't know it. It just didn't do a thing for me either.
Oh, I got the movie.
Flopped.
I got the one you should see. It's called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
I've heard about that. Is that what you pay $20 for?
That's what I paid $19.95. I rented it. I could have bought it for $25, but I rented it for $19.
That's the worst title maybe ever of a movie.
It is. It's so hard to remember, and I try to tell people, but it's kind of a backstory, a secret story that was released from Winston Churchill's diary that just got, I guess, turned over to the public, and it's kind of a story about... I don't want to blow it for you. Just see it. If you get a chance, watch it.
It's not a documentary. It's a fictional adaptation of a true story.
Yeah.
And what's that title, that horrible title again?
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Well, that's horrible. No one could ever remember that title.
All right.
I mean, whoever lent them $30 to make this movie, they should have at least changed the title. What is it? The Ministry? I still can't remember.
The Ministry
of Ungentlemanly Warfare?
That's right. You got it. See, it just took three times. But, hey, look, it's not Dances with Wolves. It's not that. But it is a true story, and it tells a story that I didn't even know happened. It talks a little bit about Winston Churchill maybe getting ousted from his position at one point during the war, which I never knew even happened, but it's good. It's a good story.
I think there were a lot of people panicking during World War II, particularly in England.
Yeah,
you know, because they weren't sure if he was. You know, they're getting bombed over every night. You know, by these V bombs. We came real close as people still keep. You know, it's the 80th anniversary this week.
D-Day.
And I think a lot of people, it's kind of coming out a little bit at a time, but we were like really close to losing all that.
Well, the movie addresses
Werner von Braun was really close, and his people were really close to inventing all kinds of things in rocketry and that would have just, you know, and everything else. And they were, those German scientists were coming on.
We took them
all after the war and made them. And that's how we put the man on the moon is with the Nazi scientists.
So the movie addresses that, and it addresses how close we were to failing and how the United States could not get the ships overseas because of the U-boats were just destroying them. And so this backstory talks about how they stopped the U-boats, and it's a very unique story. And
it does sound good. It's just a terrible title, but it does sound good.
It's an awful title.
So since we're at D-Day, I guess I didn't plan on doing this, but, you know, Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, man.
That movie is considered to be the best D-Day movie, and it's been considered to be one of the greatest movies of all time.
I would agree. I love that movie from start to finish. I was fully absorbed in that movie.
The first 30 minutes are crazy.
Rough.
It's the actual D-Day landing, and it's
rough.
Wow.
It's rough.
It was something. So Tom Hanks... Steven Spielberg, great.
If you haven't seen it, see it. I want to ask you, just going back to Kevin for a minute, and I know you guys go back a long way, and if we can't talk about it, that's fine. If you can, great too. I know you've seen the movie. I want to see it. I want a Western. I want a good Western, and to me, he's a great actor, so it should be, I should love it. Now, what is the purpose for the division of two parts? Is it just too long?
It's just a big story. I mean, I think originally... it might have been thought of in the planning as a series, not unlike Yellowstone or something.
Yeah.
I mean, because this thing has been in the works for 20 years or something.
Really?
And
okay.
I think as it went on, he decided to, you know, make this a bigger deal, make it a movie for the big screen. And so it's in four parts.
Okay.
The first one is like an appetizer. to get you into what's going to happen in part two that's already finished, and it's going to be out in August. And then he's working on three now. They were shooting the other day in Durango, Colorado.
Okay.
In far south Colorado. And then this movie was shot, I think, a lot in Utah, I believe. It's all down in that, you know, where those big, beautiful vistas, the arches.
Yeah. Zion National Park and that kind of thing.
And all that type of thing, is that the scenery in this. Well, I know some of it had to be in Colorado, because there's one scene where they're having a chase and it's going through the, if you've ever been in the fall in around Vail or any of those places with those aspen trees.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
They turn gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's very hard to photograph, because it's like it overmodulates the video. It's so gold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the sun hits it, it's really crazy. So that's in here. So they must have shot some of this, you know, in the bottom part of the Rocky
Mountain. So it's a four-parter. We got two done that we know we can see.
The third one's being done now, and then I guess there'll be a fourth.
That's interesting. I've never even seen anything
surprises
like that. I mean,
I hope that it succeeds.
Yeah.
You know, people are just out of the habit of going to the movies.
Yeah, you're right.
And they're lazy about it, you know, and they just don't. People just soon stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't the same thing. It is not the same thing. And I'm guilty. I just hadn't had any reason to go to the movies. There's nothing that's been out there that I wanted to see since Top Gun.
I agree. I saw that in the theater, and I agree with you. I agree.
And I don't – I mean, there hasn't been a movie – you know, I don't care about Bad Boys that's out this week.
Yeah.
The original first one was kind of cute, but I don't care about number four.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's – you know, the whole system – success brings success in Hollywood. The more people, the bigger the movie is, it brings other things.
Yeah.
And more gets people going out again and getting in the habit. And there's a pricing thing that's going on in theaters. It's still expensive.
Yeah.
You know, movies cost way too much money to make, but they cost too much money to go see. And, you know, it's a dog chasing its tail. It's just, it's like I've heard, it just frustrates me to see it online. She's, well, I'll just wait till it comes out, you know, on Netflix.
Well, look at me. I just paid $20 for me and my wife. That's $10 a piece, because it's only two of us that watched it. And we rented a movie that was a theater release style movie. I don't know if it's in the theater, but we paid because it was easy. We didn't have to go down there. We didn't have to, you know what I mean?
No, I know. And a friend of mine was just saying that he can't stand these multiple part shows. You know, like part one. You know, like the
series.
He got hooked on something called Your Honor or Honor or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much product out there. You don't know what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a 10-parter, and he's mad because he didn't know that. And he watched the first hour, and so he was hooked. So now he's having to go through the 10 hours, and he's only halfway there.
Do you ever, when you watch those multi-parts, like the 8 episodes or the series, do you ever, when they're done, feel like, now what am I going to do?
I feel lost when they're over with.
It's very strange.
No, I'm doing it right now. I'm doing something that's really, really insanity. I didn't have anything to watch. I ran out of my series,
mm-hmm.
or at least I thought I did.
Yeah.
Nothing. So I said, I'm going to check this out. So I went to season one, episode one of The Rookie. Now, I did that because I rented Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
I went ahead and got the app because I wanted to see the Beach Boy documentary,
yeah.
which was okay. But the more I think about it, I'm agreeing with some of the comments that it plowed no new ground, and it was too much Mike Love influencing, you know, the history of the Beach Boys, which is really, it's all about Brian Wilson, pretty much.
Yeah.
But
no
with
doubt.
This, I said, The Rookie was up there. I said, well, I've never watched this show. I like police shows. There must be a reason why I've never watched this,
because mm-hmm.
I generally don't watch shows on ABC for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I seem to be hooked on the NBC, the Law & Order, SVU's Law & Order, and then the Chicago series on NBC, Fire Police Med.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watched the FBI, the three FBIs.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched some of the NCIS. I'm mad that they canceled NCIS Hawaii. But I didn't have any of the room for anything else. So The Rookie, I said, So I started watching episode one. I'm now on season two, episode 10 or something. I've gone through 20 hours of it. And I'm so
Is it good?
I'm hooked. I mean, I'm totally hooked on the characters.
I don't even remember who's in it. I don't even remember.
Nobody is in it. I mean, it's not any stars. It's totally, you know, people that you didn't know before, but I know them now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did the same thing to SWAT before that.
Yeah, I knew you were watching SWAT, CBS, but I didn't know you.
I've gone through every episode of SWAT.
So now you're just watching old stuff.
Now I'm finishing Rookie. Well, I'm heading toward modern day as we go.
Okay, good.
I'm up to the end of season two. But I'm like, with no commercials.
Yeah.
You know, it's just content. And that's it. And I'm spoiled with that.
It is a good use of your time.
I can't watch a movie on TBS or TNT or AMC because they do 5 minutes of movie and 5 minutes of commercials.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I have no tolerance.
Yeah, did you ever watch Franklin with Michael Douglas?
No, I haven't.
You got
I haven't
two
been
now.
To Apple Plus lately.
Yeah.
And so I know it's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's good.
I will see it.
It's good.
I will see it.
All right.
But we're here in summer. Politics have heated up. Movies are out. Politics. Oh my God, they're hot.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I watched a bunch of stuff on YouTube really with Fauci.
People stirred up and Biden has taken off the gloves. He actually called Trump a convicted felon, so he hadn't done that before.
Yeah.
And, but he knows that he's got a battle going between him.
Well, it's obvious to see what he's doing right now at the border. All of a sudden, he cares about the border.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been, 3 years without anybody giving a hoot?
Oh, yeah. Well, the barn's burned down.
Right.
The cattle's are the barn.
Right.
Now we're going to worry about locking the door.
Right. Lock them in.
So it's election year politics on all sides, and the Democrat people of all those, I'm neither one. So I'm just I'm sitting in the middle somewhere, not thrilled about any of my choices.
But, yeah, I agree.
You know, Trump, it is what it is. I do feel like that was I don't feel that was fair. I don't know.
I'll agree with you. To step out on a little bit of a limb.
I don't know that he didn't do anything either. I know he, but yeah, I just felt like that had political all over it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, he may have done it. I don't know, but I think the effort was so great for.
But all that stuff with Stormy Daniels up there doing all that was strictly done to embarrass him.
Yeah,
and we know what he's done, and everybody's worked that into the formula.
Right, so, exactly.
Then as far as Biden's concerned, you know, the Democrat, some people running for Congress and all that, they're not wanting Biden to come campaign with them.
Mm-mm.
Because they don't want to be tied to him. They want to, you know, handle this on their own.
So, it is an interesting election year.
It is, but it just kind of turns me off.
It's an interesting but sad election year.
Yeah, it is. I'm tired of hearing about both of them, frankly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I was
sitting
here reading these articles about my interest. The city of Nashville is getting nearly 100 people a day moving in.
Isn't that crazy? What is the draw? What is going on there? I mean,
well, there's no state income tax.
Okay, so retirees might love that.
So California people, New York people,
they all
who are extremely taxed, they said something like, There's some stats out there of how many California people have moved to Tennessee, and they're paying big money. I mean, the city has grown. It's going 86 people a day on average.
That is a lot.
And the price of homes average has gone from, the population's gone. 23 years ago, there were 1.3 million, you know, in the region. Now they're 2.1. So it's almost
double. Yeah.
And the price of homes has gone from an average 5 years ago, $290,000 was the median home sale price in Nashville. Now it's $414,000.
Also so almost doubled.
Yeah. So
it's
the traffic, the infrastructure, major corporations like Oracle have chosen to move their headquarters to Tennessee, to Nashville. These healthcare is one of the reasons, as healthcare consolidates like every other industry, Columbia, two of the biggest owners of hospitals are headquartered in Nashville.
Yeah.
So all these software people, you know, hospitals are run on software for sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of these software people want to be near that.
Well, that is, that's where my wife flies when she goes to the hub. She works for a hospital as well. And they go there, Nashville's headquarters.
And that's what's going on. But so the airport, you know, it's doubled and doubled and doubled and doubled. And then the price of everything is doubled and doubled.
What's
and
happening to Franklin, Jimmy? I love Franklin. Nothing.
It exploded. Oh. It's where a lot of the people have gone,
which is too bad.
25 miles or so. The traffic jams are enormous, and there are very little ways to avoid anything, you know.
But it's beautiful. Atlanta, I mean,
I got into a traffic jam in Atlanta
because
the freeway was just totally blocked up. But I knew that there was a way that I could go through some places where I may not want to go normally, but I did. I got out, and I got out and avoided the interstate. The interstates were just all locked up.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. I mean, Atlanta's been a boom town, and they tried to, you know, go to 10 lanes on the freeway, and people just fill up all 10 lanes.
Yeah.
Honky-tonk business in downtown Nashville, the entertainment district, you know, it is what it is, and it's a lot of – it's just the town's not the same. I met a woman this week I was at an event with. Nashville, the subject of Nashville came up, and I said, it's not my cup of tea right now. I'm very, you know, it's not the place I moved into and really enjoyed for some years. And she said, well, I love it. And I went, she said, I moved here from Chicago, you know, a few years ago. I said, well, there you go. Yeah, it's a smaller city compared to Chicago, but it's got a lot of the big city stuff. I mean, Nashville was always known as a big town that felt like a small town.
Yeah.
Now it's a big town that feels like a big town.
Well, when was I there? How long ago? 5 years ago?
Probably. Maybe 3 or 4, but it's changed even since then.
Well, I was going to say, it didn't feel out of control to me. I felt safe walking downtown. I didn't feel like that was...
It's really... I mean, the homeless population has doubled. I know that. And it's, you know, these homeless camps, it is terrible.
Really?
But home prices up 20%.
That's crazy.
And home buyer must earn $124,000 to afford a median price home in Nashville. Believe me, nobody was making anywhere near that kind of money in the media or music business or songwriters, for sure.
Yeah.
But every songwriter in town. No one can, or if they're living there, they've got to live with 4 or 5 people.
Jimmy, I mean, for the people coming now that are coming, I mean, think of it. It's a beautiful place, right? Just to the eye. It's appealing.
In Tennessee is pretty. Yeah.
It's pretty. And then you have all the country stars and the wannabes, but you have all the country stars there. If you want to go to a show, I mean, you could maybe catch a star, any of those clubs downtown.
You're going to catch about as likely seeing a star as you're going to see in Hollywood. Which
okay, fair. But, I mean, people went to Hollywood for that. I mean, the people...
But they never see a star.
That's true. But they
never see one in Nashville.
That's interesting.
These stars are completely isolated on their gated homes, out of town, and very few that I know of live in Nashville.
Yeah.
And, you know, they live in the adjoining counties. And, you know, it's just, it's... that says Nashville only cares about tourists, country music, and cowboy hats. It's a dog and pony show. Forget those fancy apartments that are going up. I don't stand a chance of getting any sort of apartment in this city right now. Right.
Wow.
A new studio says it's $1,500 a month.
A studio?
Two bedrooms start at
$2,485. Oh, my gosh. My gosh. Well, I thought we were high here. I mean, you could at least get a one bedroom for $1,400. You know,
that's a lot of money. I mean,
for a single person, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. I mean,
I don't either because I can't imagine where they're working, you know.
Right, right. Well, that was my next question. I was going to say, are the wages in Nashville keeping up with the housing prices and the inflation and all that?
I can't imagine that everybody's getting just all this much. I don't know is the answer, but something tells me. Probably not.
Yeah, right.
Probably not. I don't think, you know, in the media business anyway, I don't think they're paying $100,000 to everybody that walks in the door.
That's crazy.
I don't think so.
That's crazy. Well, not in the media business we're in.
So sure. I don't know. You know. And speaking of media, I'm looking here at this article that was in Axios, and it's talking about normally, you know, the media would be in a feeding frenzy over the politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be covering it all the time. And they're talking about major structuring, restructuring, layoffs, newsroom overhauls, talking about subscription media growth has slowed, publishers struggle to replace customers who have canceled their Trump-era subscriptions. I don't know what that's about. Mm-hmm. Washington Post sweeping changes.
Oh, I saw that. They're getting a new editor and all that.
But they're going in a whole different direction.
They probably should.
They said they will move to a new newsroom division focused on social and service journalism. I have no idea what that is.
You've got to know. You're the guy. I mean, nobody else
knows. I have no idea what their idea.
What did they call it again? Social and what?
Social and service journalism. It doesn't sound like anything I'd want to read.
Social and service journalism.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, social, I don't know. I can't even begin to guess. And then Wall Street Journal is changing stuff. It said it's introduced a new multi-million-dollar brand advertising campaign geared toward broadening its subscriber to appeal to a wider set of business professionals, not just the, you know, top executives.
Yeah. I have liked the Wall Street Journal over the years. I thought it was
a pretty good paper.
Yeah.
It's pretty high quality and pretty well written.
Yeah, but, I agree.
You know, they may have to dumb it down to get more subscribers.
So that's too bad.
It's just interesting where all this stuff, you know, is going. And it's, you know, we've talked about this every week, the changes.
Yeah.
And I got this, you know, the calls you get when you have children. The swimming practice for one of my relatives.
Yeah.
One of the young people in the family was canceled today.
Okay.
Code Brown.
In the pool?
I didn't ask. It just said Code Brown.
It cannot be that simple. That cannot
it
be.
It is, but it is. And it is. It happened before they arrived, so they were turned away because of Code Brown.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. And then as my 5-year-old, I don't think she's 6 yet. I don't want to make her any older than she is. She's 5.
Yeah, sure.
As she was leaving, she saw a man in a Speedo.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to
see at him, and she pointed at him and said, "He's in his underwear." Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Jimmy. Wow. Yeah. The world we live in, you know?
It's crazy. It's one big Code Brown, as far as I'm concerned.
It is a Code Brown. It's a number two.
A lot of things. It is Code Brown. I'm still trying to sort it out.
Yeah. Well, don't try too hard.
I'm just going to watch The Rookie, you know, for the next 50 hours or however many shows there are.
And don't forget The Ministry.
And The Rookie is so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a day in the life of these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not weeks and months at a time. So even though you're going week to week,
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
No, we're looking at the next day. That's why they're still rookies after the show's been on the air 2 years. You know, they're going a couple of days forward, but they don't go too far.
Yeah.
Every day, one of the 5 rookie people or so, they're either getting tied up
or
thrown in a well. You know, it's some major shootout. You know, and
you got to get off The Rookie. You got to get off that.
The policing, unfortunately or fortunately, is not like that.
Yeah,
their policemen to go a whole career without ever shooting a gun,
or go their whole career as a rookie.
Yeah, or as a rookie, and they're doing drug. Maybe LA's different. You know, they're doing drug buys, and I don't know. It's entertainment. Mindless entertainment.
Yeah,
and I've enjoyed. So,
well, sometimes you need that. And don't forget the ministry of...
I don't want to think. I don't really want to think most of the time. It's a Code Brown for me.
From now on, I'm going to use that. Hey, I got to step away for a minute. What's the matter? I got a Code Brown.
Well, it needs to be a little less subtle than that. That's
I'll have to work on that. I got to figure it out.
Well, once you get ready for this, if you want to watch something that's going to be great entertainment...
Yeah, go.
Alec Baldwin and his family, which is a huge one, they're starting their own reality show, a TNT reality show that gives fans a glimpse into the family's ups and downs.
I'd watch it. I mean, I'd watch it. I watched a little bit of the Terry Bradshaw family. That was kind of interesting.
I watched a little bit of Stallone's, but I lost interest in it.
I do on all of them. I don't know why.
I don't either. It doesn't make me stay.
All right. One more time. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly, the worst title.
It is, but the movie is not a Code Brown. It's
okay.
All right. So check it out. Until next time on Sweeping the Country, I'm Derek Walker. He is?
I can't say. No, I'm Jimmy Carter. Thank you.
Good day.